Anyway, that brings us into the text of my message today. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to spend a little time here in chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse 35. And of course, here Jesus is with his disciples. He's teaching them many, many things. And just like we are always learning something, we think, well, I've heard this before. But if the Lord wants us to hear it again, then I guess we need to hear it. So, verse 35, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Then he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your glory. Well, let's look at this a little bit. First of all, in 35, we see they didn't recognize him as Lord yet. They were just calling him teacher. And they were asking him, you know, this is the name it and claim it group. You ever heard of them? The name and claim it. Whatever I ask for, Jesus, I want you to do it for me. And, you know, Jesus, in his loving kindness, just says, well, what do you want me to do for you? Well, of course, position. We want to be a place of authority, a place of rulership, a place where everybody can look at us and say, aha. doesn't that sound like us? But anyway, you know, Jesus, he didn't really condemn them. He just said to them, Do you know what you are asking? Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink of the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. So, you know, Jesus didn't kick them out just because they were in pride. You know, how many of us don't walk in pride? You know, first thing we do a little something and, oh yeah, I should get a pat on the back, you know. I should be recognized for this. But, you know, they didn't know what they were talking about, what they were asking the Lord. Are you able to walk in my shoes? Are you able to walk with my anointing? Of course, their answer was, we're able to. So Jesus referred to a time that they would. And he said, you will. You know, you're going to go through these same things that I'm going to go through. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. Oh, but I thought Jesus could do anything. Well, when the 10 heard it, verse 41, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Well, you know, other people will notice your pride and your arrogance, and they will be quick to judge. And you know, sometimes they're right. When you're immature and you're growing up, and you hear people say things against you, and you just, you know, bristle up and say, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, maybe they're seeing something that you are not seeing. So sometimes we need to just stop and say, Lord, is that really true about me? And let him speak to us. That's a sign of maturity, but you know, sometimes it takes a little while to get there. Jesus knew it'd take a while for them to get there. So verse 42, Jesus called them to himself. When all the, you know, everybody's getting all upset. So he called them all around. He's got to take care of all his little disciples here now. He called them to himself and he said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He was trying to show them that our way is not the ways of the world. The Gentiles represents the world system. The way things happen out there, maybe in your job. The way things go in the world is to get to the top, keep your position, make sure that people hear you and follow what you say. They become bosses. You ever seen a boss that, you know, they're climbing up to the top no matter what? And Jesus was saying, that's not for us. That's not the way for us. That's not the way in the kingdom of God. We don't become bosses. We become leaders. A true leader will lead his people. He doesn't lord it over them, his position. He doesn't try to make everybody bow down or, you know, comply. He's willing to listen. Doesn't mean to say he changes his mind. But he's not, you know, standing over you with a stick. And that's a picture of our God. God doesn't stand over us with a stick trying to knock us around and knock us into shape and say, if you don't do that, you know, I'm going to do this and this to you so that you'll listen. He's not that way. His heart is of love. He's there to, like the good shepherd, walk, and we follow. He's a leader. So, in order for us to be a leader, he said we must be a servant. In other words, we need to see what the needs of our people are. A good leader will go and he'll say, okay, this person has this need, so maybe I can do this to help them out. Or this person really has a few deficits, but you know, if I encourage him and I show them the way and I do this, he's got great potential. You know, and so this is what Jesus was trying to say. And then he's trying to teach us that if you have that desire, and many times it's a call of God on our life to be a leader, to be first. But in our hearts, we have to become a slave of all. Because our example is Jesus. Verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." He didn't come for us to wait on him and to serve him. But like the song that Ray Bolt sang, while they're all trying to figure out who's going to be first, what does he do? He gets up, he puts the towel around him, and he goes and he washes their feet. And he says, this is what I have for you to do. You're to be a servant. And then as he was serving, you know, this was just a few days before he actually gave his life. He came to die so that we could live. Isn't that amazing? That the Son of God came to this earth to die, to be a slave for us, so that we could have it easier. Not so that he would have it easier. If he wanted to have it easier, he would have stayed up in heaven. You know, he didn't need to come down here and experience everything that we go through. So let's continue on in this chapter. We're going to be reading about blind Bartimaeus. Verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So what did the crowd do? Hush, be quiet. They warned him, be quiet. But did he listen to them? He cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So guess what Jesus did? He stopped right in his tracks and he said, commanded him to come to him. So then, of course, they tell the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." Now, why did Jesus stop? It's because he heard the cry of faith. I'm sure there's a lot of people that, when he was walking along, were yelling out the name of Jesus. "Jesus, Jesus, oh, here comes Jesus. Look, there's Jesus." But this cry had a little different tone. This cry was saying, "Jesus, Son of David." Who's the Son of David? The Son of David is the Messiah. He recognized the Messiah. He'd heard about people getting healed. And here he was sitting on the wayside, blind. He couldn't see what was going on, but he could hear. And so faith had risen up in his heart. Here was somebody that had the answer to his blindness. So when Jesus was going by, he wasn't about to be stopped by people around about him. He says, "This is my chance. The Messiah is going by. I'm going to get my answer." So he was determined to be heard. You know, he had a need, so he went straight to the source. He went to the Anointed One. Jesus, the Anointed One. He wasn't going to let anything stop him. And because of this, Jesus heard that cry of faith. And so he stopped and called him to come. Now let's see what he does when Jesus says, "Come." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now I want to talk a little bit about this garment. Maybe you've heard about it. He didn't throw away his clothes and come naked to Jesus. You know, when you first read this, I can remember as a kid reading this, he threw aside his garment. Gee. But this garment was a beggar's garment. It signified who he was. He sat on the side of the road. He had this garment draped around him so that people would know this is a beggar. He's got something wrong with him. he needs something that he, you know, he can't get out and work for it. He needs something. And so he would sit there and beg, and people would come and give to him to help meet his needs. Well, he threw this garment away. He threw it aside, indicating that he wasn't going to rely on this garment anymore. He wasn't relying on himself anymore. His self was to sit there with that little garment around him so that people would give. But he says, okay, there's someone greater, somebody who's got the answer to my need. I don't need this garment anymore. I'm not coming back to this garment. I'm going to Jesus. So he threw it away. And so he comes to Jesus. They bring him to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now notice in verse 51, Jesus asked him the same question that he asked his disciples. The very same question. But how did the blind man respond? He said, Rabboni, which means my great one. He recognized him as Lord. Where the disciples only recognized him as a teacher, he recognized him as Lord. And as a result, Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. See, he could tell by his speech that he had faith. By the way he called out to him, he could hear faith. And that's what Jesus responds to. He responds to faith. It wasn't just that he was begging to be healed. See, people can beg all the time and never have faith. They know that he is, you know, somebody that can heal him. Heal them. They've heard about that. But will he heal them? Well, this guy, Bartimaeus, was determined. He knew that Jesus could heal him and would if he came. And so, Jesus, of course, just spoke the word. He didn't even pray over him. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't do anything. He just said, your faith has made you well. Go. Go your way. So what does he do? Did he get up, go home, and tell everybody, oh, look, look, look? No. He just followed Jesus. He just continued to follow Jesus. Because Jesus was the way. Jesus was the answer. Here's a whole bunch of stuff he needs to learn. So he follows Jesus. I want to show you an example in the same chapter. Was a little different. Just turn back a little bit to verse 17. This one is about the rich young ruler. And, you know, as Jesus was going along, this rich young ruler just came running and knelt down before him and said, good teacher. See what he's calling him? Teacher. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus was saying, well, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is of God. So he's trying to get him to realize that if he was good, he was God. He was the Messiah and not just a teacher. So, you know, Jesus went through all the commandments and saying, do this, do that, you know, do all these things. And that's how you get eternal life, because that's all he was ready at that point to hear. So, in verse 20, he says, "Teacher, I've done all these things from my youth." But see, that was a void inside. It wasn't being filled. And he said, there's still something more. I've done all of this, but there's something still lacking. Can you tell me what it is? Jesus, looking at him, loved him. This man really tried. I mean, all of his life he tried to do what was right. He tried to keep the law. Everything, I mean, honoring his parents, everything, he tried to do that. And Jesus loved him for his efforts. He really did try. And so what did he say to him? "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have your treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, Jesus wasn't saying all your possessions are wrong. But Jesus was looking into the man's heart. And he saw that the possessions had the man's heart. Instead of love for his fellow man or love for God, he was busy doing a bunch of works to try to make it to heaven. And Jesus was trying to show him, you've got to let go of the possessions, the things that hold your heart. You got to let go of that. Come follow me. I'll lead you. I'll show you. Well, of course, the young man went away sorrowful. So with all of this, Jesus, you know, said, it's so hard for someone who has a lot of riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, this really upset the disciples. Well, who can be saved then? You know? I mean, here this young man did everything right. And you mean to tell me he wasn't going to make it? Verse 27. This is the one I want you to focus on. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible." See, if our focus is on God, then anything is possible. Those people that you've been believing God for, that you don't see how they could possibly come to Him, it's possible. That situation that you've been believing God for 20 years, it's possible. Mark 9:23, just a little bit back. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Well, what am I supposed to believe in? Who am I supposed to believe in? How am I supposed to believe? All these questions. We make it so difficult. Well, we're just supposed to believe in His ability, in God's ability, in His love, in His mercy, in His Word. See, it's all in here. It's all in the Word. If it's in the Scripture, then we can believe it in context. Okay? If we are going to be believing in ourselves, in our ability, or in our own faith, guess what? It's impossible. But if we choose to believe in His ability working within us, it's possible. Now let's go back to John chapter 14, verse we read before earlier. 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, wait a minute. The disciples just asked Jesus for something, and he says, it's not mine to give. So how can I ask for anything, and he's going to do it? You ever been there? You ever prayed for something and it didn't happen? Or sometimes you prayed for something not even knowing what you're really praying for and it got answered. It's like, okay, Lord. So whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. There's a key. Is the Father being glorified by what you're asking? Well, I'm asking for my neighbor's wife. Does that glorify God? Sometimes when people are coming in the prayer line and you ask them, well, what are you believing God for? Well, it's one of those, I forget the word now. Anyway, they can't tell you. It's one of those things that just between them and the Lord. Don't pray for it. You don't know what they're asking. How can you agree with them? If you need to go to a private room so they can tell you, well, that's different. But if they just don't want to tell you, then there's a problem. Well, what is his nature to do? What does his name stand for? He's holy. He's righteous. He's loving. He's willing to help. Can he do something unholy? No, it's against his name. It's so easy. I struggled with this for years. And then I guess one day the Lord just decided to reveal to me what this was all about. Because it's like, Lord, you said I could ask for anything and this isn't working. Well, what's his nature to do? He can't go against his name. If you ask anything in my name. So you're asking him to represent himself by asking for his name. His name has strength and has power. But it's got to be his nature or he will not do it. He cannot do it. That answers the question where Jesus said, I can't let you sit on my left hand or my right hand. It's not mine to give. See, his name didn't represent giving that position. That was for God the Father. Now most, just about everything, you know, he can do when it concerns Father and Son and God. But there's some things that God reserves for himself. There's some things that are reserved for the Son. And then there's the Holy Spirit, you know. Well, it pays to know a little bit about each one of them. Let's find out what do they do. Now what can you name and claim? See, there is a place for name and claim it. Does he want all your needs met? Find scripture to base your claim on. Remember the picture of the guys that were looking for gold? And they go and they search and they search and search and they find this piece of gold. Or they find this piece of land that, okay, the gold's supposed to be on here. So what do? They stake their claim on it. They put a stake in the ground and they mark it. This is mine. Then they take it and register it. This plot is mine. They don't tell anybody else that there's gold there. Not until they've got it secured. This is mine. So then they take it, they claim it, and then they can mine it. They can do whatever because it's theirs. Well, we're supposed to search the scriptures just like we're looking for gold. Find the scriptures that pertain to your situation. Is it healing? Is it finances? Is it a loved one? Is it to draw closer to the Lord? Is it to allow His power to work through you? Find those scriptures. Stake your claim on those words. The unchanging Word of God that cannot lie. If you can find it in the scriptures, then you can believe it. Read the scriptures, believe the scriptures, speak those scriptures out, because that's how faith comes. You're going to hear that word, you're going to believe it, then you can show the Lord and say, Lord, this is talking about my situation. You said it. You said it, Lord. It's not like, you said it, Lord, now you got to do it. No, Lord, you're the Messiah. You spoke it. I receive what you said. So you don't stake your claim on what happened to somebody else, whether it's good or bad. That person got healed. I can believe for healing. What if all of a sudden that person starts having some symptoms? Oh. Or that person was believing God and they died. Well, how do you know what they were believing? What does the Word say? Is that what you're believing God for? What happened to that person? Or did you find it in the Scripture and you took it and you believed it for yourself? I'm going to ask.